Welcome back to Reminisce Chat. Of course, I am your host, Joe. I'm sitting here with Dakota.
Hi.
Oh, that does not sound very happy at all.
You're about to make me read something that I haven't even read at all before.
That is great. And no. I'm sitting here with Miranda.
Hey, well, on the phone.
Yeah, that's true.
And Gray.
And Gray, yeah, the kid's here. But yeah, and today, you guys, we're talking about Aleister Crowley.
Crowley.
No, it's Crowley.
It's Crowley.
Is it Crowley?
Yeah, Crowley.
It is Crowley.
It's from,
I'm getting told.
Because if he inspired the supernatural character, it's Crowley.
I'm pretty sure it's Crowley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so what do you guys know about this dude?
In Supernatural, he's a crossroads demon.
Okay, I don't know what that is. Can you kind of explain it to people?
He deals with people and kind of like be like, oh, you want someone brought back from the dead? Okay, but I'm going to take your soul too. All
right. Miranda, what do you know?
What she just told me.
Okay, so not a whole lot.
No.
But it's okay. Because this week we're going to be talking about the first half of Aleister Crowley.
We're making this two episodes.
It is a two episode.
Just for Dakota.
Uh-uh. I had to fight already to make sure we didn't do clowns this month, because this is my birthday month, y'all, so we ain't doing clowns. Uh-uh.
I want to do clowns so bad.
I worked at McDonald's in the middle of, like, the whole clown thing, and we had a clown come in, and this dude looked like a creepy mofo. I was hiding in the back. My other friend was hiding in the back.
But, no, you know, we're in November now, so I want to do clowns, but it's fine. We'll do them later on in life.
Yeah.
But, you know, this man, he is a occultist, published author, a mountain climber.
And, just a random mountain climber in there.
And, like, artist, like painter and stuff like that.
Ah.
Yes, he was despised during his time, but then later revered.
Are we going to find that out?
Yes.
You're looking at me like I should have something to say.
Oh, I have no idea about this man. I'm looking at you because you're the only one in the room. If Miranda was here, I'd be switching back and forth. There's no one else to look at.
Do you have a cherry in your drink?
Yes.
Oh.
It's an old fashioned.
It's pink.
So what happens is I use cherry juice for flavor.
You better not spill the cherry juice in the fridge again.
I did not spill no cherry juice. But
because you spilled
an old fashioned.
But listen, so the one time he spilled cherry juice in the fridge and didn't clean it up. So I walked into the fridge. Well, like, I walked into the kitchen and opened the fridge.
You walk into the fridge.
Shut up. And there was cherry juice on the floor and all over the fridge because he didn't clean up his mess.
I did not know.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Because you're like, oh, thanks for cleaning up the cherry juice.
Okay,
don't
what'd you
forget see? The one time we made the sparkling
cider
water explode.
Oh, yeah, when y'all made the damn sparkling cider explode in my fridge.
That was
my freezer. And y'all didn't clean that up either.
I didn't know that one happened until you told me. It's like, oh, by the way, I had to clean your sparkling cider mess.
Y'all just ain't allowed in my fridge anymore. Ain't allowed.
That's why I gotta get the cherries.
I normally just get drinks in there, and then I steal the
my fruit snacks. Oh, my fruit snacks.
Okay, but that's because we have, like, a box of 90.
Yes, they're for me.
You haven't even ate them.
It's hard to eat 90 fruit snacks. I'm going to be honest with you.
But I've already ate at least 10.
Yeah, probably around 10. But let's see. So, we got a book source. Dakota, you want to read it?
Why are you looking at me? Okay. So, the thing that you have marked... Excuse me, Greg. Yeah, sir? Sir? Do you need a bottle? Okay, Aleister Crowley, Magic, I don't like how they spelled magic, Rock and Roll and the Wickedest Man in the World by Gary Latchman.
So how they spelled magic is how he spelled magic.
Okay.
Do you want to, you know, spell it out for people if they don't know?
M-A-G-I-C-K.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't like that either.
Okay, here is a quote. Aleister Crowley, the 20th century's most infamous magician and self-styled Great Beast 666.
That's the expert.
Excerpt.
Expert. Yeah,
excerpt.
Yeah, I can't. This is what you read.
From Aleister Crowley's Magic, Rock and Roll, and the Wickedest Man in the World. This material is protected by copyright. Thank you for putting that in there.
Yes. And also, I got the source from tons of YouTube videos and, you know, online research.
Okay. The Life of Aleister Crowley. If I fuck up any of this, it's because I haven't read any of it. The Younger Years of Aleister Crowley. He was born October 12th. 1875 in Royal Leamington Spa, England.
So, I was about to say, that's just like a small little rural, like urbanish town. Urban town.
Kind of figured.
Yes.
Okay. His father had a brewing fortune who became an evil evangelist preacher for the Plymouth Brethren.
Yeah, evangelist is a preacher. That's why it's there.
Okay. Plymouth Brethren is a community of Christians whose first congregation was established in Plymouth, Devon, England in 1831. Y'all, Christians be coming up in everything.
Well, it's very important that, you know, like, his father was one of the most religious people, so was his mother. You'll find out here in a few minutes.
Yes, because how would I have figured that out if I haven't read that far, Joe?
I'm letting everyone else know.
None of us know so far. Okay, daddy a preacher. Got it.
Isn't Christianity, like, the number one religion in the world?
A lot of that, I feel like, goes down to that there's so many different types of Christianity.
Yeah, Christianity is like an umbrella.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In English church history, a nonconformist is a Protestant Christian who did not conform to the governance and uses of the established church, the Church of England. Out of respect of his father, Crowley would devote his whole life to religion. Oof, sorry, bro. After his father's death, when Crowley was just 11 years old, he began firmly eschewing all sense of Christianity. He would point out inconsistencies in the teaching in the Bible during study groups in school and would outright defy Christian morals by smoking, masturbation, and having sex with prostitutes. Damn!
Yeah, I'm about to say, his father set him kind of hard because he was this proud Christian man.
Is he fucking prostitutes at 11?
Prostitution, yeah. Like, his uncle would sit there and pay for them.
Ew.
Well, yeah, I think this is a way different time.
I'm happy I don't got any uncles.
Yeah.
Crowley formed a aversion towards Christianity at a young age. I feel you, bro. For his behavior, Crowley's mother called him the Beast. He loved the name.
He did.
He was a student at Trinity College, University of Cambridge. When he was 20, he started using the name Aleister and gained a reputation at being skilled at chess. In his autobiography, he foreshadowed the reason for his name with every choice he made.
And this is going to be an expert,
excerpt?
Yeah, from the actual autobiography.
Okay. Is it both of these combined?
Yes.
Okay. For many years, I had loathed being called Alec, partly because of the unpleasant sound and sight of the word, partly because it was the name by which my mother called me. Edward did not seem to suit me, and the diminutives, Ted or Ned, were even less appropriate. Alexander was too long, and Sandy suggested toe, hair, and freckles. I had read in some book or another that the most favorable name for becoming famous was one consisting of a dalical followed by a spondy, as at the end of a hexameter, like Jeremy Taylor. Aleister Crowley fulfilled these conditions, and Aleister is the Gaelic form of Alexander. To adopt it would satisfy my romantic ideals. The quote is over.
Yes, I was about to say he just really did not like his name and did not want to be, you know, called Edward anymore.
I like the name Aleister.
Sounds very specific, though.
Yeah.
Well, you'll learn. He's kind of smart. Honestly.
But that doesn't mean you change your name.
Well, he didn't want to be known as Edward because he despised his mother and father.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't want to be known as Alec because he just didn't like the sound.
I feel like Aleister has a dark meaning behind it because I mean Aleister Black.
Yeah, if people who don't know.
I know WWE who Aleister Black is. AEW.
Mm-hmm. Wrestler, yes.
He pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was about to say, I like the name
Aleister. I kind of like him.
Mm. Okay, in 1898, he left university without taking his degree. So did he finish his degree and just not take it?
Yes, what I found out, he did finish college, just never took the degree.
That's weird. So don't you still technically hold a degree then?
I don't know. Well, this is a different time. About now, yes, because, you know, we have records and stuff like that, but I'm going to say they didn't really have that many records.
They might also just have certificates.
But I say you gotta think this is 1889, well, 98, well over what over 100 years ago.
They might have just tried to get certificates, not really a degree, also.
Yeah, I was about to say, this happened 100 years ago through all this.
Okay.
You guys, I did learn something.
What?
About time.
Like, I think I was told yesterday while I was in the school library that it was like right before the 1990s or something, you had to pay, when you went to go buy food, you cannot pay with a debit card.
They didn't have them. You'd pay with cash. Maybe,
was it the 1990s?
Yeah, it would have been cash back then, Miranda.
I don't know.
Cash or credit?
It wasn't a credit card. Yeah, no, it was like an IOU type deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. So whenever they came out, I guess they couldn't. Because the lady said, like, yeah, you couldn't use a debit, and her family didn't believe in it, like, in using, like, a debit card. So she always had to write checks.
About a lot of people don't believe in debit cards, honestly.
I don't know how to write a check.
It's actually very simple.
Like, I can figure out how to do it, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I was about to say, they taught me that in school how to write a check.
They didn't teach us.
I know how to write a check.
They taught us how to plant soybeans.
Like how... Yeah, only soybeans, nothing else. Carrots, no.
Good, too, but you also need to learn how to write a check.
Listen! My school was legit in the middle of a cornfield.
Do you want to learn how to grow corn in the middle of a cornfield? No, they already know. How about soybeans?
No, we learned that you can only grow corn every 4 years so it doesn't take all the nutrients from the soil.
Yes.
See, learning to grow corn is important.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's why a lot of farmers switch between like corn 1 year or wheat the next year.
Yeah. Ours was corn and soybeans.
That too. You know, they'll switch it around.
Or they'll use different plots, and that way they can still grow corn every year, but it'll be in a different plot.
Like, they'll skip, like, every other plot.
Yeah. Okay, next part. Crowley considered a career in diplomatic relations, but he got a brief illness that triggered his understanding of morality and futility of all human endeavor. So what'd he get, Joe?
I could not find the illness.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you. I tried to look. I'm hoping it's in the book. I just haven't got that far in the book. I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I've been busy.
Okay.
Can we guess what it is?
You're not going to know if you're right and there's no symptoms listed.
I say AIDS.
AIDS was not, you know, around AIDS back then. AIDS wasn't
discovered back then yet, Miranda.
AIDS was discovered like, what, the 60s?
Yeah. Because it's a man-made disease.
So there you go, Miranda. You're wrong. I like how that happened.
Joey.
There's no symptoms, but we know Miranda's wrong. Yeah, Miranda, you are wrong. And AIDS would have took him out because you have absolutely no immune system with AIDS.
Yeah.
Okay, next.
Did he have the flu then?
Miranda, we don't know.
Well, I mean, fucking prostitutes. They probably had like gonorrhea or chlamydia or something.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. That's a better guess than yours.
Well, you gotta think, this wasn't his college years by then.
You could still catch STDs back then.
I don't know if he was fucking prostitutes in college. Sorry, I did not, you know, talk to the man. He's
probably. What else do you do in college? Actually study?
He did.
Yeah, he also was fucking bitches. Okay. He focused on writing occult literature and published several erotic poems.
Yes.
Ooh, we got a little Shakespeare over here.
And here a little bit, we're going to actually read one of the poems.
I'm not reading that.
I'll read it for you. How about that?
No. He had an inheritance so he could travel widely and it would be used for publication of his writings. His first book came out in 1898 and plenty more followed it.
Yes.
In 1898, Crowley met Julian, I love that name, Baker, who was a member of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. Yes. It's like some Order of the Phoenix shit.
Kind of. You'll, like, I think you would, like, you know, they study, like, magic and stuff like that.
Ooh, I love it already. He joined them and studied paranormal activity and all matters of the occult. He wanted to move up the ranks, but the senior members didn't want him to be a senior member because he wanted to do dark magic.
Yeah, he wanted to study a lot of dark magic and stuff like that.
Okay, so you know there's actually not a difference between dark and light magic.
They thought so. Yeah,
well,
they,
it is.
A whole...
But it does have a background kind of like based in racism. Because they believed that voodoo and everything was considered dark magic, which was practiced by mostly African Americans because it's... it's a closed practice.
Yeah.
Like voodoo and everything like that's a closed practice and like Haitian magic and everything. So they called it black magic because they wanted to give it a negative stigma and it was practiced by mostly black people. But there are still people who call it light and dark magic. Even now, but
I was about to say I don't really know that. Yeah, I don't know much about the whole magic realm.
I learned it actually a couple months ago.
Yeah, because I picked this guy specifically for you.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. I wonder what kind of dark magic he was kind of into, though, that, like necromancing or something?
So this is what we'll do, because we're going to go to break here soon. We'll look it up. I'll come back. Okay. We'll come back.
Okay. Eventually, Crowley hired a senior member of the group to be his live-in personal tutor on the subject. So, like, some Sherlock Watson stuff.
Yes, but here's the thing. The Order did not like that, because he pretty much persuaded this guy to do it.
I bet. Together, Crowley and his tutor experimented with ceremonial magic and the ritualistic use of drugs.
So, pretty much...
So, kind of like astro-projecting?
Yeah. So, Aleister Crowley... thought and found out that it's better, he thought it was better to do drugs while doing magic and meditating and everything like that, because you'd hear what he would call your guardian angel.
Well, there are a lot of people who believe that's what LSD does.
Yeah.
Okay. During this time, Crowley continued to explore his bisexuality and seek out prostitutes. But while this life for him was eye-opening and spiritual, higher-level members of the Golden Dawn considered it to be too libertine and refused to allow him entry into the upper levels.
Yeah, so... Aww. I was about to say, they find... Well, that's another reason why he despised the religion that his father preached, because he knew... Well, he thought he was different, and that his father didn't agree with it.
So, gatekeeping, basically.
Yeah, I was about to say...
What's going on right now.
So, like, you'll find out later on, he used to do a whole bunch of different...
Excuse me.
Okay. I'm glad you know. Well, he watched the video earlier.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. So, like, what he'll do is, he'll sit there hide it with talking to women and stuff like that, sleeping with prostitutes. I think that's why he found out being a bisexual, because he didn't love men.
Oh.
He dated one in college. Got the name. I will look it up, I promise, because we're about to hit commercial break, and I will come back and say it.
Wait. Is he, like, actually bisexual, or did he just date one guy?
No, he is actually bisexual, and you'll find out he actually has kids.
Oh.
With a bisexual? With a...
With women.
Guy?
With women, Miranda.
Guys did not have children. That they still can't have children.
Well, you said he's bisexual, but later on you're going to find out he has children. So.
You can still be bisexual and have children with a woman.
It's very, very possible.
Yes.
But we're about to hit commercial break. I'm going to look up what kind of the... Well, who he dated in college was. And the magic.
Oh, okay.
And we will be right back. And we're back from the ad break. So, to answer the first question about the magic. So, I couldn't really find a whole lot about, like, what kind of magic he was doing. But I could find that it was symbolic magic. Symbolic magic.
Hmm.
And also the club that we were mentioning earlier also had the Irish poet W.B. Yeats, and it's where he got to learn his hermit corpse of Western magic. And it's known, like I said, as symbolic magic. Delivered, well, devired from...
Derived.
Jesus Christ. This is why you read. From King Solomon's method and supposedly used to summon the spirits that help him build his temple.
Okay.
So that's the kind of magic he was into.
So kind of like modern witchcraft.
Kind of. It is complex. It's a complex system of angel demons for achieving changes that in nature by operating through them. This sort of magic that is also represented by the use of spells, incantations and rites.
Okay.
So that's kind of magic he was going through. And then looking up his boyfriend in college, I happened to find on what he thought about his sexuality.
Okay.
Because he was a bisexual and exhibited a sexual preference for women, with his relationships with men being fewer and clustered in the early part of his life. In particular, he had an attraction towards exotic women and claimed to have fallen in love on multiple occasions.
Fuck boy.
But his first same-sex sexual experience, which enabled him to recognize his bisexuality, was at Cambridge. Crowley maintained a vigorous sex life with women, largely with female prostitutes, so you're right, from one whom he has caught syphilis.
Yep, I knew it!
But,
wait, what was it?
Syphilis.
What's that?
An STD.
Yeah, an STD.
Oh, not AIDS. So it's kind of right.
Well, not even close.
What's the difference?
AIDS is not curable.
Yeah, and AIDS is an autoimmune disease.
And AIDS was not invented back then.
Yeah.
Should we continue?
Sure.
But eventually he took part in same-sex activities despite their illegality.
Excuse me.
Whoa. Oh, is that how you feel about it? Is that how you feel about it? Okay. Sorry about that. But in October 1897, Crowley met Herbert Charles Paulet, I butchered that last name, president of the Cambridge University Footlights Dramatic Club. The two entered a relationship. They broke apart because Paulet did not share Crowley's increasing interest in the Western magic. So that's pretty much why that is, you know. And then we now have two poems, which I will, I guess I can read one of them now. You ready, Miranda?
Sure.
Do you have any questions?
Not yet.
All right. So this one is called,
Can you read the one you sent me?
I'll read that one later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I don't want to read that one.
Okay.
That makes me nervous.
I will read both of them.
Oh, I'll read the Pan one.
The Hymn to Pan?
Him.
Hymn to Pan. All right, Dakota's going to read Hymn to Pan.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay. Oh, gosh. Oh, I don't like the way this is written. Nah. Okay. I don't even know what that third word means. Okay, I know every, like, other word past this, so it's fine. Throw with life some lust of the light. Oh, man, my man. Come cheering out of the night of Pan, low Pan, low Pan, low Pan. I feel like this is not written correctly.
Oh, it is.
Come over the sea from Sicily and from Arcady, roaming as... I know this is Bacchus. I know I can never pronounce that right. With fawns and prods and nymphs and strides for thy guards. On a... What the? On a milk-white ass, come over the sea to me. Come with Apollo in bridal dress. Okay. Come with Artemis, Silk, and Shroud. First off, Artemis.
Nope, nope. We're not. Listen, we're not doing it. Let's go. Continue reading.
Listen. Okay. I don't want to read this anymore. This is intense.
Go ahead.
And wash thy white thigh, beautiful god, in the moon of the woods on the marble mount, the dimpled dawn of the ambered fount. Dip the purple of passionate prayer in the crimson shrine, the scarlet snare. This is like Dr. Seuss.
Go ahead.
The soul that startles in eyes of blue to watch thy wantonness weeping through the tangled grove, the gnarled bowl of the living tree that is spirit and soul. And body and brain come over the sea, devil or god, to me, my man. Okay, so this is about a man. Come with trumpets sounding shrill over the hill. Come with drums low muttering from the spring. Come with flute in, come with pipe. Am I not ripe? No, because you're not like a peach or anything.
Go ahead. You can continue reading.
I who wait and writhe and wrestle with air that hath no balls to nestle. My body weary of empty clasps, strong as lion and sharp as an asp. Come, oh come, I am numb. Oh, this is long. With the lonely lush of devildom, thus the sword through the galing fetter, all devire, all begetter. Give me the sign of the open eye and the token erect of thorny thigh. In the word of madness and mystery, it literally says Lopan 8 times.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not reading all that. Lopan is forever. I am a man, do as thou wit as a great god can. O Pan, Lopan, 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 Pan. I am awake in the gripe of the snake. The eagle slashes with beak and claw, the gods withdraw. The great beasts come, Lopan. I am born to death on the horn of the unicorn. I am Pan, Lopan, Lopan, Pan, Pan. I am thy mate, I am thy man. Goat of thy flock, I am gold, I am God. Flesh to thy bone, flower to thy rod. With hooves of steel, I race on the rocks through solstice stubborn to equinox. And I rave.
Go ahead, say it.
I don't want to say that.
Go ahead.
And I rave and I rape and I rip and I rend. Everlasting world without end. Mannequin, maiden, matron, man. In the might of Pan, Lopan, Lopan, Pan, Pan, Lopan.
There you go. That is.
Fuck.
No, he was not.
We could have just listened to the 55 second video where they literally.
Oh, man. No, it was funnier watching you do it. But yeah,
I mean, Pan is a pretty cool deity, though, not gonna lie.
Yes, I was about to say, I was thinking about doing the whole 55 second of it, but now I was thinking, no, we're gonna let it go.
He's gonna fall.
Pan, like just a regular Pan or pansexual?
Like
Pan the god.
She doesn't know Pan,
oh,
the
Pan
god.
Is a god?
Yes,
not like a cookie Pan, Miranda.
No, he's like a forest, like. God.
So what did that mean to you, Dakota?
He really wanted to fuck Pan.
Is Pan hot? I'm a little horny now.
Like, Pan is supposed to be beautiful, but it's also supposed to be part like satyr, so he has like goat legs.
Yeah, I'm a little turned on now. So is the baby.
No, he's not.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but no, that was one of the most popular.
A baby
poem.
Is like, why?
That's the most popular poem by him.
Okay.
According to poemfinder.com.
I really want to know how it was evaluated back, because like all the ones that are so clearly like not straight, like Shakespeare's and stuff, they're like, oh yes, he was just in love with like the world, but he was straight. And we're like, nah, bruh, they bisexual at least.
But no, everyone, even Crowley knew he was bisexual.
Yep.
He wasn't afraid to admit it. As you see, he's mentioned it many times already.
Mm-hmm. Okay, should I keep going?
Yeah, we can keep going with the rest of the information.
Having enough of Europe, and after his stint in the Golden Dawn, he traveled to Mexico to do his dream to mountain climb. He also traveled to Japan, Hong Kong, Ceylon, and India. While in India, Crowley began practicing Raja Yoga, a Hindu meditation tradition. He later accompanied mountaineers in the first ever attempt to climb K2 in 1902.
Yeah, so pretty much what happened was, and we'll probably hit a lot of it on the second half of the, you know, second episode. Is that he decided, hey, you know, I can go and continue to live life because I still have this abundance of a fortune. So he wanted to go and do his real life dream of mountain climbing.
So did he just kind of say see ya to his mom?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, you know,
she didn't approve.
She did not approve of his life choices and stuff like that.
Okay. In November of 1902, Crowley traveled back to Europe, settling in Paris and immersing himself in the art world. His lifestyle painted quite a different picture than the one he was truly living, as he surrounded himself with famed artists like painter Gerald Kelly and sculptor Auguste Rodin. Paris was where Aleister Crowley fell in love. Gerald.
So this is his going to be his first marriage. He was married twice.
Oh, okay. Gerald Kelly introduced Crowley to his sister Rose during a meeting, after which the two married. At first, the marriage was one of convenience to prevent her from entering an arranged marriage. Before long, the two fell in love, and he dropped the profane, dark writings and penned love poems for his wife.
So that would be a second poem, which I will definitely read, but I kind of want to take this time to talk about how he did finally find his love. Because, you know, he went, he did the whole K2 climb, and this is when he came back to Europe, right? Well, there's a story, because when he went on his K2 climb, he was with other mountain climbers. Well, the other mountain climbers wanted to go back down, because they didn't want to, you know, do the climb anymore. And Aleister Crowley pretty much said, no, he doesn't want to go. So what happened was, essentially, he went back to his tent, and they was going down the mountain, and an avalanche happened. And it killed some of the climbers. And people think that Aleister Crowley, well, Crowley? Yeah, actually set a spell to kill the climbers because they betrayed him. It was never proven, and all the other climbers, there was some climbers who were okay, but it was said that Aleister Crowley heard, you know, their screams and everything, and he didn't go out there to save them. So that was kind of, you know, fun to learn about.
Okay, I have a question real quick.
Okay.
So the question is, how are you supposed to save a climber during the middle of climbing?
Well, it sounds like you're on speaker. I can't really understand you.
Okay. Are you supposed to save a climber in the middle of climbing?
So, like, after an avalanche, you can go out there and try to bury out the people. You know, like rescue teams do, Miranda. Because he wasn't stuck in the avalanche.
Not everyone is, like, that good to be a hero, though.
So you're defending Aleister Crowley? You don't think he should have tried to save those climbers?
You never know.
I honestly don't know how big the avalanche was or how deep, but I know I wouldn't try to save them.
I mean, you might not be able to.
When you climb Mount Everest, you pass bodies and stuff along the way, and they say just leave them there.
Well,
yeah,
it's too dangerous to pull the bodies out.
Yeah.
Like, I read somewhere that Mount Everest is the largest graveyard.
Yep.
But guys, we should do a whole episode on that Mount Everest.
No.
That'd be cool. Wait, do you think it's haunted then?
Probably.
No, because I don't believe in the hauntings.
Well, just because people die there doesn't mean it's haunted.
Yeah. But
that'd be kind of a cool place to go ghost hunting. Well, can't die either.
Well, just think of all that negative energies there, because all the energy of their last moments is in that mountain.
Yeah, a lot of them froze and starved to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was watching a Family Guy episode about the Griffins climbing Mount Everest, and they were talking about the dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think one of the family members, I forgot which one, actually fell into a pit. And they said, oh my goodness, are you all right? They said, yeah, just land on these dead climbers.
Oh gosh. We read a whole book about it.
I watched that episode with you.
Probably.
We read a whole book about it in high school, and then shortly after I graduated, they came out with that movie. Was it just called Everest?
I have no idea. I never heard of it.
I don't know.
It might be. I might have heard of it.
And, like, they talk about it because it was this really famous climber, and he took a group of people up, and, like, his whole team died. There were only a few survivors, and, like, they were super shocked because he was an experienced climber, and it was supposed to be his last climb. But,
did,
like,
he die?
The experienced guy did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the one guy was a reporter, and he was a writer, and we read his book, but he was so, like, conceited.
Why is that?
Because he literally just, like, degraded everybody else who was, like, climbing and tried to act like he was, like, a big shot when he really wasn't.
Well,
and that's probably why he should have died.
Well, he didn't, yeah, sadly the writer didn't die, but
there's a lot of bodies that haven't even turned to skeletons that's been dead for years.
Yeah, because they're preserved in the cold.
Yeah.
Do you know in medicine we can't pronounce you dead until your body's warm?
Really?
Yeah, because there was,
I thought it would be cold because your body's always warm.
No, if you're suffering from hypothermia or something, we can't pronounce you dead until your body's warm. Because there was this, I believe she was Russian, and she was stuck, like, she fell through the ice with her one friend, and she was a doctor, and she was under the ice for, I think, like, 45 minutes, and she somehow had, like, a little pocket of air, but she ended up freezing, and her organs, like, kind of, like, slowed down. And so they got her back to the hospital, and she wasn't breathing, and the doctor said he wouldn't pronounce her dead until she was warm, because you can't. And she ended up living. She made a full recovery.
Nice.
Yeah. Goodness.
Well, your body kind of goes into protective mode. So it starts shutting down the organs you don't need to try to keep you alive.
So, are we ready for the second poem?
Yeah.
Wait, so I got a question.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I don't got an appendix now. Assuming she has her appendix, does that mean I have a little bit less chance of surviving?
I don't think the appendix is
working than she does.
No, because your appendix don't work.
All right, so this poem is dedicated to George Ruffelkish.
Sure.
Okay, you know what? I'll go with it. This man's written about 50 poems, by the way. Oh. So, sorry, I don't really read. This is what it, you know, Dakota's good at the reading and pronouncing names.
Mm-hmm.
In the years of primal course and the dawn of terrestrial birth, man mastered the mammoth and horse, and man was the lord of the earth. He made him an hollow skin from the heart of a holy tree. He compassed the earth terrain, and man was the lord of sea. He controlled the vigor of steam. He harnessed the lightning for hire. He drove the celestial team, and man was the lord of fire. Deep mouth from the thrones, deep seated of the choirs, the eons declare, the last of the demons defeated, for man is the lord of air. Arise, O man, in thy strength, the kingdom is thine to inherit, till the high gods witness at length that man is the lord of his spirit.
Are we allowed to read these?
Yeah, I'm giving credit to the author, which is Aleister Crowley. This is a whole episode about the man, Aleister Crowley.
I didn't know you were going to get copyrighted.
No, I'm using him as the source.
Okay.
These are by Aleister Crowley. If you guys did not, you know, catch the first, you know, the whole episode. But yeah, so this man, I think, Dakota, you have a lot more to read, don't you?
Yep.
Okay, so now you can get back. But those were two poems by him. What do you guys think of them?
He gay. Shorter.
He's gay?
He gay.
You know, he was bisexual.
Yep, he gay.
But, you know, at least he was able to admit it.
Yep. Okay. While Rose was meditating, she informed Alistair that the Egyptian god Horus was waiting for him. In 1904, though, his own meditation, he heard the voice of Iwas, the personal messenger of Horus. Using the words of the messenger and Horus himself, Crowley transcribed the Book of the Law, the book that would become the basis of his new religion, Thelema.
So, that is about it for Aleister Crowley. Now we're going to start learning about Thelema.
Okay.
I decided to stop there because, you know, he just formed this new religion.
Okay, who's Philly Mug?
What?
Huh?
Who's... Did you say Philly Mug?
Thelema.
Thelema.
That's his new religion.
Thelema. That's a religion he founded. That's still worshipped to this day.
You wait, can still so find the book. He created Thelema?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you want me to read this too?
Yeah, so pretty much this is going to be about Thelema and like what they believe in and stuff like that.
Okay. Thelema is an occult philosophy / religion that embraces libertarianism and teaches that people should have the freedom to do whatever they want.
Seems fair.
One of the main tenets of Thelema is do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Followers of Thelema call themselves Thelemites. In 1904, Crowley wrote the Book of the Law, also known as Liber All. He claimed that was dictated to him by an entity called Iwas, whom Crowley considered to be his personal guardian angel. The Book of Law is scripture to Thelemites, and Crowley is the prophet of Thelema. Interpretation of the Book of the Law is left up to individual Thelemites. The word Thelema in Greek in origin, it means choice or will. Cat, go away. Thank you, sir. The word is found in the Bible in many places. For example, in Matthew 6:10, Jesus' model prayer contains these words, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." The Greek word for will in this verse is Thelema.
Yes. So, that's pretty much a little background about Thelema. I didn't want to, you know, take a extensive amount of time on it. So what do you guys think of this, you know, first half of learning about Aleister Crowley up to his writing of the Book of the Law, which you can still find, by the way, on Amazon and stuff like that.
Interesting.
I feel like he has an interesting life.
I wonder how many people practice this.
Okay, well, you Google that and type it on the Google machine. Are you really going private?
I've always been private because I don't want you looking up like what I buy you for Christmas.
Oh, I like how you're going private to figure out how many people practice a religion.
No, I'm always private. Like I don't think I've ever used a public browser in a while. Oh. I also don't want people to see the Quizlets I look up for school.
Oh, that's really? Probably true.
How do you go to a private browser?
Just so that way she doesn't get caught unless, you know, they go to the cell phone company.
Go away, kitty.
How do you do that? You just hit private on your next tab.
Oh, really?
Yeah, then you can look up all the anal bead porn you want.
Oh, my God.
I do not look up porn. I don't care about porn.
Yeah, don't even look up porn. Okay. It's a real thing.
It doesn't give me, like, a thing of, like, who, how like, many how many people. But, there is a site that has an attorney argues for special diet for Thelemist inmate.
What do you mean?
I guess there's a special diet they're supposed to follow.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's free will, is it not?
I don't know.
You do as you want.
It's a traditional Egyptian diet.
Ah.
Maybe I feel like it's kind of one of those that, like, you're making your own religion up as you go.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that's how it is. Kind of like a free practicer.
Yeah, I don't know. But there's a lot of famous people who's come to worship, you know, Thelema and Aleister Crowley. But yeah, first episode on Aleister Crowley. We're going to wrap it up next week with, you know, the birth of his children, how he, you know, ran a house for all that and, you know, stuff like that.
Cool.
You guys pretty excited about next week?
Yeah, because I'm still not quite sure what's going on.
We're learning about an occultist, mountain climber,
I author. Know that.
You know, father.
So, he really didn't find a religion on witchcraft then. He kind of, or the occult. He was kind of just like, do what you want.
Pretty much. I never said he did.
Bro, you just kind of founded freedom of religion.
Well, yeah, I think America, well, like,
freedom of religion was a thing back then.
If you would let me finish. Okay. America had their own freedom of religion type deal. And, like, Britain, stuff like that, they did not like that.
Oh, well.
Because next we'll learn how he was exiled from Britain and stuff like that.
Damn. Y'all be hating on people.
Yeah. I feel like he wanted to have a religion because he grew up with a religion.
Mm-hmm.
At such a young age. Yeah. So he just said, oh, yeah, well, my religion, you can do whatever you want. Straight, yay, doesn't matter. Come on in.
Like with modern-day witchcraft.
So I feel like modern-day witchcraft, you practice Thelema a little bit.
No, it's basically what it is, because you just kind of practice what you want.
So, yeah, you guys practice Thelema.
Yeah.
I feel like, in a sense...
Everyone practice Thelema?
No, they know... They don't have, well, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about the Book of Laws.
Yeah.
Because I'll source it out, well, because I know it's a source for next week and stuff like that. So, Dakota, where can they find you?
I'm working on it.
You're working on where they can find you?
Yeah.
On, like, you know, a Twitter or an Instagram?
I think some people found me on Instagram. On That's kind of weird. Don't look at my Instagram. It's old.
So, find her on Instagram. Just gotta
Wait,
search
why
it.
Why do you think they found you on Instagram?
Because I've got, like, 5 new followers, and they were, like, had podcast enthusiasts in their, like, bios, and I'm like, oh, no.
So, find her on Instagram. You got to deep search her.
Yes.
See, I haven't got those. I've only gotten Sugar Mamas and Sugar Daddies.
You should have got it with the Sugar Daddy.
Hey, at least there you go. These people aren't offering me money.
They might.
No, please don't.
You can find me on Twitter at Jovia. Find the podcast group page, Ramnish Tap Podcast. You can also go on our regular page where you can listen to our podcast on Facebook. Also, subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You give us 5 stars. Google Podcasts. You Google us on there. Have a little bit of fun. Amazon Music. Tell your Alexa to play us.
Yeah, follow us, you know, for my birthday.
For your birthday? That's the only gift you want from them?
Yeah.
Nice. And don't look at her Instagram, apparently.
Yeah.
That's the 2 gifts.
Don't send me dick pics and don't ask for feet pics. Well, unless you're offering, the price is right.
Yeah, if you're offering, like, a lot of money for a feet pic, she might take it.
I mean, my sister does my toes, so, I mean, they look cute sometimes.
But, oh, not mine. You don't want to hear a story?
No.
Yes.
No.
Right now, my toe is black.
Why?
Toenail.
Did you paint it black?
No, it's literally just bruised.
What? What are you doing to the toenail?
I think somebody stepped on it a long time ago, and it's just bruised, and it hasn't gone back to normal yet.
You know, sometimes you have to, like, poke through your nail with a needle to, like, release some of that blood, right?
Oh.
No, like, it's happened before. My mom did it the first time. She, dropped a toe, not a toe.
She dropped a toe on you.
She dropped a Christmas tree on the toe, and then I watched the blood spread out.
Oh.
As, like, it got bruised or whatever, and that wasn't good. I thought I might have lost a toe, nail. And, well, it went back to normal after, like, a year. And then I ran my toenail over the cart, and it went to black just, like, before. And I was like, oh, that's fun. After a while, it went back to normal. And then I'm hoping this time it goes back to normal
You need
again.
To see a podiatrist.
A what?
A foot doctor.
Okay. I don't know why people just don't say these things.
Because they're called a podiatrist.
All right, guys. I think that's about it for us.
Yeah.
Do we have to plug in anything else?
No, because I want to go to sleep.
We did the Facebook page. We did the...
We did everything else. We good.
Nice. Check us out next week for Aleister Crowley Part 2.
Yeah.
We'll continue his life story. Probably read another poem. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Besides that, Miranda, you good? Callbacks?
I'm good. Okay, bye.
All right. Bye.